Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Bavarian Podcast Works. This is Chuck Smith, and I'm here to bring you the preview show ahead of Bayern Munich's Bundesliga match against Darmstadt this weekend. It will be Bayern Munich's final game before an international break. As we all knew, this will be a very key international break. More than anything, I think people are anticipating the lineup and the roster that Julian Nagelsmann will put together for Germany. But before you get to any of that, I'm going to start talking about the game this weekend. We've got a lot to talk about with Bayern Munich in terms of what happened over the course of the past couple of games. But Bayern has a chance to create a little bit of momentum before they hit the break. And Darmstadt is an opponent ripe for doing that. So as we always do with the preview show, we'll take a look at where each team is in the table. And for both of these clubs, they're not hard to find. For Bayern Munich, they are sitting in second place through 25 match days. They have 18 wins, 3 draws, 4 losses. That's good for 57 points, which is still an amazing 10 points behind league leader Bayer Leverkusen, who has yet to lose this season. What a magical run for Leverkusen. Who would have thought this? I'm still, no matter how many times I see them play or how many times I look at the league table, I'm still kind of in amazement at where this team is and how it got there. It is just an incredible job by those players and the coach Xabi Alonso to have Bayer Leverkusen in such a spot. Just imagine if they were in the Champions League this season. What would that look like? What kind of havoc would they be wreaking in that competition? So Bayer Leverkusen, as much as we would like to see them knocked out of the perch there atop the Bundesliga, I mean, there are only, 9 games left, and Bayern Munich has a 10-point deficit. It's dire straits right now. So Bayern will be looking to at least give itself a chance and stay maybe on pace with Leverkusen, but maybe even picking up some points. We'll see. For the season, Bayern has 73 goals scored and 29 against. That's one of the primary differences between Bayern Munich and Bayer Leverkusen. Leverkusen, while it has scored less goals with 63 in the league, it has only allowed 16. So that Leverkusen back line and midfield combination has really done a fantastic job, along with the goalkeeping, of limiting the opposition. And, you know, to only give up 16 goals in the league through 25 match days is ridiculous. It's so good. On the other end of that spectrum, however, is Darmstadt. Through 25 match days, Darmstadt is sitting in 18th place, almost assuredly being relegated. They have a slight chance to maybe get up into the relegation playoff spot with FC Köln, who is in 16th place. But they trail Köln by 5 points. They trail 17th place Mainz by 3 points. But Darmstadt is going to keep their hopes alive. They have 2 wins, 7 draws, 16 losses. As I said, that is good for 13 points through those 25 match days. They have only scored 24 goals and have allowed 60. So this could be a goal barrage for Bayern Munich if the attack is on point. As for how these teams have looked of late, in the league, Bayern Munich, over the course of their last 5 games, has 2 wins, 1 draw, and 2 losses. That last win for Bayern Munich was an 8-1 victory last weekend over Mainz. As for Darmstadt, it's not good. They have 3 losses and 2 draws over the course of their last 5 games last weekend. They dropped a 2-0 decision to RB Leipzig. Yeah, a lot to talk about with Bayern Munich, but Darmstadt is yet another opponent ripe for the killing right here. You have Bayern Munich coming off of 2 consecutive wins, one over Lazio in the Champions League, and then last weekend against Mainz. And what I think most fans took out of that is it just a different look and feel for Bayern Munich. Bavarians played with much more confidence and creativity in the attack. The back line seems to have finally gelled together in a way that makes it kind of hard to break it up. And we'll talk about potential rotations later in this show. But Eric Dier and Matthijs de Ligt have really done a good job of working together. They have solidified things. Joshua Kimmich, moving back to right back after a couple of shaky efforts initially, has started to look a little bit better, and maybe he's starting to embrace the role, even though I'm sure he doesn't want to be there. And at left back, you have that combination of Alphonso Davies, who has been in and out of the lineup because of injuries. Last weekend, of course, he had his face smashed and some, I guess, dental work done. It looks like he did not lose his front teeth, as was originally reported, but maybe had them knocked a little bit loose or something. Either way, the picture he posted was pretty ugly. So hopefully his mouth situation is all better at this point. In his stead, though, Rafael Guerrero has done a solid job of filling in. So Bayern Munich on the back line has really started to gel and come together, as I said. In the midfield last weekend, Alexander Pavlovich was not available, but that did not matter because Leon Goretzka put on a masterclass, playing in a little bit deeper role where he could distribute a little bit more and maybe get a little bit more space to see up the field and get those longer balls and balls over the top up to the attacking group. I thought Goretzka was excellent. He did exactly what Thomas Tuchel wanted him to do. It makes me wonder, you know, going back, if maybe Tuchel just didn't give Goretzka the chance to prove himself. Maybe he had preconceived notions about what Goretzka was and who he was as a player. And, I look at those kind of situations. And when we think about Tuchel's tenure, they're littered all over this roster. I got into a big debate, which I don't tend to do in the BFW comments this week, but I did over whether or not there was a rotation problem at the beginning of the season, yada, yada, yada. I went through this back and forth. I laid out my stats. Other people gave their thoughts. In the end, nobody's going to change anybody's mind. My opinion is that Tuchel just didn't like De Ligt, hasn't liked De Ligt, and at the beginning of the season really tried to alienate De Ligt by not rotating. And I know there's a question, right? So if you have good center backs, most teams don't rotate. But what teams have center backs like Bayern Munich at this point? When you look at Dayo Upamecano, Kim Min-jae, Matthijs de Ligt, I thought it was the perfect recipe to rotate, to get them all on board and in sync and being able to play with each other and keep them healthy. Now, staying healthy has been one thing that has been a problem for all three this season, mostly de Ligt. But Bayern did go out and settle that situation by bringing in Eric Dier, who's been magnificent since he's been brought in. So now you have four pretty quality center backs who are all, at different points of this season, have been performing. Now, what I can say about Kim Min-jae is that he has not been as good as I think a lot of people think he has been. I think he's been up and down. I think he's had some really good moments. I think he's had some really shaky moments. Overall, I don't rate him as one of the top two center backs on this team. I just don't. It doesn't mean he's a bad player, but it means he's definitely worthy of being rotated in. He's not that far behind the people who I would, I guess, name as the top two, which would be De Ligt and Upamecano. As for Upamecano, he had another one of these bad spells where his reckless play cost Bayern Munich, and I think he's paying the price for that now because it did give the opportunity for Dier and De Ligt to play together and really solidify things. So I don't necessarily think this is an indictment on Upamecano or Kim Min-jae when you talk about using De Ligt and Dier, but the partnership is better. I think the communication is better, and I think they just look better working together. There was always a little bit of an issue with Upamecano and Kim Min-jae, and I don't know if it's a language barrier thing. I don't know if it's that they're just not as vocal as maybe they need to be. I have no idea what the problem is. And it wasn't a major issue, but you could tell that things weren't always aligned or in sync over the course of the season. But Bayern Munich has a great problem to have now. They have four players who are very capable of playing at a high level at center back. And this is excellent for the stretch run of the season because Bayern Munich not only has to keep these guys healthy, but they have the Champions League, which they're still fully alive for. So having that kind of depth and that kind of talent back there, I think will be a huge advantage. Can Thomas Tuchel keep them healthy? That's definitely a topic that we will cover. But this Bayern Munich team right now looks 10 times better as a whole than it did the majority of the season. And yes, I know the natural inclination is to say, well, yes, of course they do. They played a Lazio side who's getting rid of its coach and who has really been performing poorly for the majority of the season, and Mainz, who has been terrible. And I get that. But I'm also of the belief that when you're playing at a high level every single game and you are getting every opponent's best shot, sometimes you need games against scuffling teams to get your own self right, to get your mindset right, to get together and work on those things that you can't necessarily simulate in practice. You need game time to do that. And I know one of the big things in the United States with youth sports is like this constant need to always play the best, to always be the best, to never drop your level of competition. But the problem with that thinking is when you have that and you get into a rut or you get into having players who are struggling, they don't get the opportunity to work out of that because you're constantly taking everyone's best shot. You're constantly pushing yourself up against the best of the best, and you can't get yourself right. So when you get opportunities, even for a professional club like Bayern Munich, to maybe settle in against a lesser opponent and to work on those things and get back to remembering who you are as a team and as a club, I see nothing wrong with that. And the fact of the matter is, when you play teams like Lazio and Mainz, you should go out and you should batter them. And it should look the way it did over the last couple games. And Darmstadt, guess what? It should be another blowout. Bayern Munich should absolutely walk into Darmstadt and kick their butt from one end of the field to the other, whether they park the bus or not, because Bayern Munich has that level of talent. The biggest question I think most people have when you assess what has happened over the last couple games and why didn't it look like this all season is, can they keep it going from here? I mean, Tuchel, for whatever reason, spent most of the season, and I use the term not pushing the right buttons. He was starting people in weird spots. He was trying different combinations of players that didn't work. And just overall, the tactics didn't get the best out of this group. Over the last couple of games, I think we've seen the team itself shed that weight of Tuchel's presence off their shoulders. So while he does have his supporters, there were many players who Tuchel took to the woodshed via his own words or through media leaks. When you talk about Goretzka or Kimmich or Matthijs de Ligt or even Thomas Muller, these are guys that for one reason or another over the course of the season were players that Tuchel wanted to get away from or openly talked about replacing. But now you could argue that those four players are four of the most important players to what Bayern Munich hopes to achieve the rest of the season. So I like where Bayern Munich is headed. I love the way that the attacking group is functioning together. The quartet of Kane, Musiala, Muller, and Sané has been really, really good. Those four players, and I've been saying this all season, absolutely complement each other. They can interchange easily. They have games that bring out the best in each other, respectively. So I like the way the attack is functioning. I'm eager to see Alexander Pavlovich get back and play in that same role that Konrad Laimer played last week. Now, listen, last weekend, Laimer did not do anything horrible, didn't do anything great. He just needed to fill that spot. So when you get Pavlovich back now, who might be able to impact the game a little bit more, we really might be able to unlock what this attacking group could look like and how this team could function as a whole. I like where the defense is going. I like the way the team's playing right now. And like I said, I acknowledge it hasn't been against the best competition. But against teams like that, you need to go out and hammer them. And that's exactly what Bayern Munich did. And it's not what they were doing earlier in the season. So progress is progress. I will take it. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and get into who Thomas Tuchel might start, maybe some questions about any potential rotation, and have a prediction on the match. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the preview show. This is Chuck Smith. Thanks for hanging in there after that break. As I said, there is a lot going on with Bayern Munich when you look at this team heading into the Darmstadt match. You look at the potential for rotation, but when I see that, and listen, I am a huge proponent of rotation. I love when a coach settles into a rotation, gets all of his talent playing time, everybody remains happy, you build a unity in the team, and it helps moving forward. That's what Hansi Flick was able to do back in 2020. That's exactly what his blueprint was, and it worked out. You had everybody contributing. You had people stepping up. And the people that weren't getting their numbers called, quite frankly, weren't that good. So that back then, I think Flick showed that you can have a good, talented roster that's somewhat deep and make it work and keep people happy and really make a lot of progress and get better over the course of a season. Tuchel never managed to find a way to do that this season, whether it was starting players too much, whether it was lack of rotation, whether it was just not putting the right combinations of players out there. He never had a feel for how to get the best out of this group. Now it seems after all of this, he might actually have his best 11. And guess what? This best 11 is pretty similar to what a lot of fans wanted to see all season. I think the outliers would be Eric Dier and Alexander Pavlovich, who Pavlovich, no one really expected to be in the spot that he's in right now. Let's be honest. I mean, he was a kid who I thought would be lucky to get some, you know, garbage time over the course of the season. But now he's one of the team's most important players. Eric Dyer is a guy nobody wanted during the January transfer window. I mean, it was truly at times for me, someone who didn't mind that deal. And listen, I didn't even think this was the ceiling for Eric Dyer. I thought the ceiling was coming in and playing 15 minutes a game to rest those top three center backs. But he's come in, and I like now at times I feel like that Jon Snow meme where I'm just standing there during the, what was it, the Battle of the Bastards, and I'm there with the sword and I'm seeing everyone charging at me, the horde of Dyer haters. And I sit there and I think, like, man, like, the guy's been good. He's done everything that Bayern Munich could have asked him to do, and he's been a good teammate about it and a good guy in the locker room. And maybe more than anything, he's been Harry Kane's buddy, and maybe that's what Kane needed. He needed somebody here that would help bring the comforts of home over to Germany for him. But either way, this is a good team, a good group. And now how does Tuchel manage it from here? Well, this match I don't think is a great one to rotate in. And as a proponent of rotation, it pains me to say that, but I think you want to keep the momentum going. I think because you're heading into an international break, the pressure to rotate is a little bit lesser. And I think that Tuchel has to really have a handle on how to make it work, because there's going to be some outside pressure from some players who are going to want to get on the field, who are probably going to want to get a start in. And he's going to have to figure out a way to manage that. So I think he sticks with relatively the same lineup, I think, that he's been using. And I think that he's going to be tempted, and this is going to be a huge test for him, to go in a different direction at a couple of positions. And if he can fight that temptation, if he can just avoid those impulses that he's had all year to do the wrong thing, he might be setting this team up to really have a strong chance to make noise in the Champions League. And of course, in the Champions League, we'll find out what Bayern's immediate future looks like later this week when they hold the draw. But if they get another opponent that is advantageous, I mean, this is a Bayern Munich squad that really is set up nicely to compete with anyone if it continues to evolve, and if these players who now Tuchel is leaning on continue to get a good feel for each other. So how does the team line up this week? If I'm telling you there's not going to be a rotation, it probably means he'll rotate everybody. But I'm going to put faith in Tuchel here that he's going to ride the hot hand and that he's going to realize that there's no point in rotating this week because you're heading into an international break. So what does it look like? Who's available? Let's start with the injuries. Tarek Buchmann, obviously out long-term. Probably won't see him play for Bayern Munich this season. Nusair Mizrahi is working his way back from a torn muscle fiber. He is one of the players we see videos every day. He's working hard. What does his role entail when he gets back, if Kimmich stays at right back? I don't know, because I think right now, if I'm Tuchel, I'm probably going to keep Kimmich there. I know that sounds weird, and this is counterproductive to Mizrahi because he has been solid this season, but I don't know if Tuchel's overly enthralled with Mizrahi, but either way, Mizrahi's been good this season. But he could just be a victim of what is working right now, and that is Kimmich playing right back. So I don't anticipate seeing Mizrahi back on the field even when he is healthy, but I think we're still probably a couple of weeks away from that. Maybe he'll be back after the international break. Bounassar has a torn ACL, another player we're seeing a lot of videos of. He has been working out with Kingsley Coman, who is also still out. So those two players are often seen running together at Sabanerstrasse. Coman is expected back after the break. Sar is a player who is probably not coming back until maybe May. And I say that loosely because he tore his ACL, and I always am very skeptical of players coming back so soon. If I'm Bounassar, I continue to work out, but I probably don't want to come back this season. I want to probably push myself to find a new club and maybe establish myself there and collect another big paycheck. I mean, why not? Why not just keep the train going in that direction? So that's the injury situation. not quite as bad as what we have seen in recent history. So Tuchel has options. What will he do? Let's talk it through. I think Manuel Neuer will start in between the sticks. Why not? Neuer's been great. I don't think there's any reason to change that up at this point, even though, you know, it'd be nice to see Neuer get a day off. I don't think Tuchel would risk that. Neuer seems to be very neurotic about needing to play, so no need to upset the apple cart there. At center back, I think he will stick with Matthijs de Ligt and Eric Dier. I think he's going to be very tempted, maybe more so than at any other position, to make a change here because he has Dayot Upamecano healthy. He has Kim Min-jae healthy. He just, at this point, can't use them in this situation. He has to stay with the starting tandem there, the two players who have really helped solidify things. It doesn't mean that Upamecano and Kim Min-jae should be benched the rest of the season. I absolutely don't think that's the case. They should be worked back in, but this is not the spot to do that. You want to ride into this international break high. You want to keep things going in the right direction, and you have to stick with Matthijs de Ligt and Eric Dier to do that. At right back, I think we'll see Joshua Kimmich. I think that's pretty much set in stone. I don't think Sacha Boué has really won any fans here of late at Bayern Munich. So, you know, he came here, had kind of a poor showing, and then got hurt. So not a great start to his tenure at Bayern Munich, but does not mean he can't turn it around. He just won't get the opportunity to do that this weekend. At left back, it is a very difficult call because Rafael Guerrero has been pretty good. And he's definitely someone who Thomas Tuchel likes. On the flip side of that, Alphonso Davies is one of the most talented left backs in the world. And even though he had the unfortunate instance where he got hit in the mouth last weekend, I think Davies will get the call and he'll be back in the lineup. And it probably pains Tuchel a little bit to put Guerrero back on the bench, but just think it's probably best at this point to give Davies another shot, especially if Bayern Munich is trying to convince him to stay. As much of an uphill battle as that might be, if you want to keep the guy healthy and give him any chance to pick you and stick with Bayern Munich, you probably have to play him as much as you can. In the central midfield, I think we will see Leon Goretzka and Alexander Pavlovic. I'm very interested to see these two play together this week, especially coming after Goretzka's monster game last weekend. Pavlovic has been by far the best story of the Bayern Munich season. We could talk about Harry Kane and all the goals he scored. We could talk about Leroy Sané's Hinrunde and then subsequent collapse. But Pavlovic, aside of a couple of down moments here and there, has just been steady. He has been a rock and he continues to get better. Man, this kid, I'm hoping he can be the next one to emerge from Sabitzer or Strasse. Can he do it? Can he continue this just incredible journey that he's been on this season? We'll find out. I think he'll get his number called along with Goretzka, as I said, who just was excellent last weekend. The attacking group, and it's another situation where I don't think Tuchel is going to want to make any changes. Harry Kane at striker, set in stone. Jamal Musiala, I guess playing in sort of a hybrid wing position at this point where he's a little bit more narrow, but there's so much interchanging and nothing is set in stone. I think he'll start at one quote-unquote wing. I think we'll see Leroy Sané back out there. Now, Sané did get some rest. Tuchel did the right thing for once with Sané. Got him out of the game a little bit earlier than probably Tuchel would have liked, but gave him some rest. This is what Sané has needed. He is not a 90-minute player as much as he wants to be. He is a player who benefits from rest because, much like Joshua Kimmich, cannot control himself. And yeah, there are people out there who will say, well, Sané goes through bouts of being lazy. Absolutely, he does, but that's probably more of a product of him being fatigued than anything. I don't think he's willfully quitting on games out on the pitch. I honestly think, aside of a couple of lingering injuries that he's had, he has been so run into the ground this season that he absolutely has had a dip in his performance, and not just in terms of what his production is, but also his confidence. It's affected his decision-making. I think Tuchel starting to get a feel for how to handle that. It's just way too late in his tenure to make a massive impact. But Sané will get the call there. And I think Tuchel has to go back to Thomas Müller as well. Müller has been really good since being reinserted into the starting 11. For a lot of people like me, you often wondered how long could Tuchel go before he realized Thomas Müller was still one of his best players, even at the advanced age of 34. It took Tuchel, what, 2/3 of the season to figure that out, which is a shame because it hurt the team in the long run. It actually helped put them in this unenviable position that they're in to be chasing Bayer Leverkusen by 10 points with 9 games left. So very unfortunate the way Thomas Muller has been handled. But how many times have we said that in recent history? You go back to the end of Pep Guardiola's era where Thomas Muller frequently found himself in and out of the lineup that last probably quarter of the season under Pep. It was kind of a weird thing, but I don't know. I don't know if they just weren't clicking at that point or if Muller was slumping, but either way, it just wasn't working. But then Muller went through worse times with Carlo Ancelotti and Niko Kovac and now Tuchel. And even under Julian Nagelsmann, let's be honest, Nagelsmann spent more than a year, I guess, trying to figure out how to work with Muller and where to use him, how to use him. And by the time he figured it out, Nagelsmann himself was done. So Muller has a way of outlasting these coaches. It's just unfortunate that I guess they look at him and they look at his game and it's so unorthodox. And they look at it with such a scientific brain saying, this can't work. This won't work. But Muller somehow finds a way to make it work every season. And at some point, it would have been nice if there was a coach other than Jupp Heynckes or Hansi Flick in recent years to just say, let Muller play and let's see how it goes. And both of those coaches, Jupp Heynckes during his interim stint and Hansi Flick during his tenure at the club, both absolutely benefited from what Thomas Muller brought to the table. It's really a shame. And one of the big injustices I feel like in the recent years with Bayern Munich is that Muller has been treated like a guy who hasn't had this great history and who hasn't performed at the highest levels. So, I attribute a lot of what went wrong with the attack this season to Muller's presence not being out there, his leadership, and obviously his ability to create offense for himself and others. So I think that's the 11 we'll go with for this. Manuel Neuer at goalkeeper, center backs, Eric Dyer and Matthijs de Ligt. Outside backs, Joshua Kimmich and Alphonso Davies. Central midfield of Leon Goretzka and Alexander Pavlovic. The attacking group of Harry Kane, Leroy Sané, Thomas Muller, and Jamal Musiala. As for a prediction on the match, which way would this one go other than to Bayern Munich? So I know it's tough in this season to trust Bayern Munich, but I think the way that the team is playing right now, they're riding a high. They are working really well together. And even if Darmstadt packs it in and they play 10 players in the box, I think Bayern's going to find a way to break through. I think this is going to be a 5-0 victory over Darmstadt. I just think this is a game where Bayern Munich is going to continue its upward trend. They're going to continue to build momentum. And it'll be another good opportunity for Tuchel to mix in some players who could use a little bit of field time. It'll be a good spot to work in Dayo Upamecano and Kim Min-jae, Serge Gnabry, who came in and had a wonderful goal last weekend. There are a lot of good things that could happen if Bayern Munich can establish control of the match early, put together a nice early lead, and then Tuchel can get creative with his lineup combinations from that point forward. So 5-0, I know that's optimistic, but hey, you got to ride these times, right? That'll about wrap up the preview show. If you have not checked out our flagship show from earlier in the week, you could check out I Need No Name and Siler. They do a good job breaking down all of the hot topics, including potential opponents for the Champions League draw. A lot of thoughts from those guys on that topic and a lot more. We'll also have the weekend warm-up show dropping on Thursday, so keep an eye out for that. And I will tell you this, we will definitely have a special edition podcast coming out when the news drops about Bayern Munich's Champions League opponent and the German national team roster. So there'll be a lot going on in Bavarian Podcast Works. We appreciate all the support you guys give and all the listening and downloads that you do, because we need it. We're out on our own now, and every little bit that you guys can contribute and support us, it always makes a huge difference. So it's much appreciated. As always, you can get me at The Barrel Block on Twitter. You can get the site at Bavarian FB Works. You can get our tweet meister, Tom Adams, at TommyAdams71. You can get I Need No Name at BFWINNN. And you can get Siler at BFW Siler. Yep, that's his official new Twitter handle. So you can get him there. And you can get all of our great podcasters and writers at BavarianFootballWorks.com. Keep an eye out for all of our game coverage. We have all of our pre-match stuff, including the lineups, predicted lineups from I Need No Name. We'll also have the game thread, the match awards, the observations, the post-game podcast, everything, all the reactions. We will cover this match in depth for you. So hang with us at BFW. We are your spot for Bayern Munich and German football. Enjoy the match this weekend. Have a couple of beers on me, and we will see you next time.